Welcome to Daily in the Word. Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, Director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. It's been said, if you have a little God, then you have big problems. But if you have a big God, then you have little problems. Friend, I don't know what problems you have today, but I know if you belong to God, He's a very big God. Today we're going to understand more about Him on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. You come to today's program with problems you cannot solve. What circumstances and questions are beyond your control in your life right now? Well, friend, we hope today that a fresh glimpse of God, the nature, the power, the greatness, the goodness of God, will help you see your problems and life's challenges in light of His nature. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you with Dr. Paul Chappell, the teacher, preacher, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. It's a joy every Monday through Friday to meet with you through this program, and today we're studying and understanding God, a great series of messages that really inspects from God's Word what He says about Himself. And it's our prayer that as you look at the fresh glimpse of Scripture and what God says about Himself, your problems will become smaller in light of His goodness, His power, and His greatness. And we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, and we're going to study today the love of our great God. Here's Paul Chappell.
As our society drifts farther and farther away from God, it is not surprising that many Americans have become very skeptical about the subject of love. It is not surprising that many Americans today are almost coming to the place where they're saying, I'm not sure it's possible to really have a loving relationship in this world. And the fact of the matter is that many surveys are telling us today that with respect to marriage, that many couples are remaining married more out of convenience than out of love. They're staying together not because of love as a bond, but convenience as a bond for staying together in marriage. In fact, we see so many signs in our society of a society that really understands not what love is all about. My wife and I this past week traveled over to the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, where I was preaching a revival meeting for 3 days and 3 nights. And as we were traveling to the church, we drove by something that we had to take a double look to really believe if it was true. It was a drive-through wedding chapel. Now, I knew they had wedding chapels over there, but I'd never heard of a drive-through where you literally drove through, put the paperwork in the tube, shoved it in the tube, the guy signed it on the other side, you said the vows literally over the microphone, and then they slid the thing back. And I suppose if things don't work out after a week or two, you can drive back to the drive-through chapel for a refund, but I'm not sure. But that's about how cheap it's gotten in this day in which we live. One rock song said years ago, what's love got to do with it anyways, you see? And that's the way this society approaches relationship. Marriages today are not always the loving institutions that God designed them to be. We see this evidenced in family life as well. Some are very skeptical of family love and would suggest that real love and support is not to be found so much in the family. It's out there in a village somewhere or in the community somewhere. And so we have the books like It Takes a Village. And I suppose if your family life is like the author's, maybe it does take a village to find love. I'm not sure. But God says no. God says you can have love in your family. You can have love in your heart. You can have love in your life if you know me, because I am love. I heard about an uncle who was talking to a young groom. He went to the boy. He said, "Congratulations, my boy." He said, "I'm sure you'll look back and remember this day as the happiest day of your life." To which the groom said, "But uncle, I'm not getting married until tomorrow." To which the uncle said, "I know." And that seems to be the way we kind of approach things in this day in which we live. Perhaps the reason we are so unsure about love, perhaps the reason we express and receive so little genuine love today, is because we do not know God like we should. We do not know, we do not experience the love of God like we should. You see, one of the first characteristics we must understand as we endeavor to understand God this summer is we need to understand that He is a God of love. In fact, there are three comprehensive statements in 1 John about God. Three statements that really describe His nature. The first statement is found in the first chapter, which says He is light. And then we come to a statement that says God is spirit. And then we come to this statement which says, God is love. God does not attain love. He does not have to try to maintain love. Love is the structure of His being. He is love. And yet His love does not contradict His holiness or truth. In fact, His love is subordinate to His nature of truth. And we see that there is no contradiction in the various characteristics and attributes of our God. I want you to notice with me this morning some very great truths related to the love of God. First of all, in our outline this morning, we see in the Scriptures that God's love is revealed. He reveals His love to us. The Bible says here in verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, He reveals His love in His Word today. Someone says, "Well, I don't see the love of God. I don't feel the love of God." Have you read your Bible this week? Say, "Well, I've been busy doing a lot of other things." Well, I want to tell you something. If you'll study the Scriptures, you'll find that in the Scriptures, over and over again, God says in so many words, "I love you." The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, "And walk in love, even as Christ also loved us." Over and over again, we see the love of God in this book. And we hear God telling us that He loves us. And my friend, I want you to hear this morning this message. God loves you. And this Bible is the revelation of the love of God. It is His love letter to a lost and dying world. I remember when I was in Bible college and we came to the summer before my wife and I would get married. We had a Christmas wedding, and so we decided, you go up to San Jose where your folks were from and you work there, and I'll stay down here and I'll work and we'll try to save money and get ready for getting married and so forth. And all that seemed like the longest summer of my entire life. You know, we were separated by all those miles. And I remember coming onto the campus of the Bible college. We had a kind of a hallway with mailboxes all the way down the hallway. Every day after work, I'd come to that postal area, and I'd walk, and as I'd walk down the hallway, I'd start sniffing. Say, "What were you smelling for? Perfume." My wife always put a little perfume on those love letters, and I'd be sniffing for that perfume. And then I'd be looking for the number, and I'd get that letter open, and I'd open that letter. And oh, I tell you, I was so insecure about that relationship at that time. I wanted to make sure everything was going along just right. Everything was just fine, you know. And I know some of you fellas are like, "I never was insecure about my relationship. She's lucky to have me." Well, you know. You can wake up as soon as the sermon's over, but I'll go ahead and keep preaching. But boy, I wanted to read those letters and I couldn't wait till that part. Normally towards the end, she'd say, I love you. Or she'd say some other compliment and just let me know she's looking forward to seeing me and how much she cared for me. And you know, the fact of the matter is that those love letters were such an encouragement to me. But I find today in my Christian life, the Bible is such an encouragement to me. Because I find in this book, God telling me over and over again, I love you. I'm glad that God reveals His love to you and to me. He reveals it in His Word. And my friend, He revealed it through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, one person has defined the word love as meeting the needs of another that that person cannot meet for themselves. And when we have the ability to meet someone's need in an expression of love, it is like the love of God when He saw us who could not save ourselves, who were desperately lost and in our sin, and He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is revealed in His Word, and it is revealed through His Son. But notice secondly this morning, God's love is not only a revealed love, God's love is a redemptive love. It is an active love. It is a redemptive love. Notice the Bible says in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is redemptive, and His love, first of all, redeems us from sin. His love redeems us from sin. Sometimes we think about the little Coke bottles that say redemption value, 5 cents. And you take them in and you get your 5 cents. You redeem that bottle. And God has placed upon us a love. He has placed upon us a value through His Son. He redeems us through His Son. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God said, even though I saw your sin before they were ever committed, He said, even though you were in a sinful state, yet I love you and I gave my Son to die for your sin. In fact, notice what verse 10 says. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that God is the prime mover in salvation? It is not man seeking God today. It's not that everyone in this planet loves and worships God and wants to know His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, it's just the opposite. God says, it's not that you were looking for me. It's that I was looking for you. And thank God that whether it's through a friend or whether someone invited you to church today, whatever the means that was used, your life has been touched today by the love of God who wants you to know what His Son did for you. And we see His love redeems us from sin. You see, Adam was not seeking God in the garden after he had sinned. In fact, Adam was hiding from God. And Noah's generation was not seeking God. Every thought in their mind was only evil continuously. They were not seeking God. And my friends, today in America, by and large, people are not seeking God today. But you know what? He's still seeking us, isn't He? He's still sending the good news out. He's still giving people the chance to repent and come and be saved. Jesus Christ is long-suffering today, and He is redeeming men and women even at this moment from their sin. It is not that we love Him so much as a human race, but He loves us. He is the prime mover in salvation. And this verse tells us in verse number 10 that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means the payment or the redemption of our sins. And when we see the word propitiation, we are reminded of the mercy seat in the Old Testament. For there, atop of the Ark of the Covenant, was that mercy seat overlaid with gold. And there on the Day of Atonement, the high priest Aaron would sprinkle the blood. And the sprinkling of that blood was the sprinkling that would cause the forgiveness or the atonement for the sin of all of the children of Israel. And one day, my friend, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ became our mercy seat. And there on the cross, when He was suspended between this earth and heaven, as as his blood was shed, Jesus Christ became our mercy seat so that we could have the covering of our sins, so that we could have the opportunity to enter into a loving relationship with God. You see, God who is love is first of all light. Therefore, any thought of him being soft or indulgent towards sin must be put away. And so in order for God's love and for God's righteousness to go along hand in hand, in order that there would be no contradiction, there had to be a payment for sin, because God does love us, but he is a righteous God. And somehow for us to have a relationship with God, there had to be a covering for sin. And so Jesus Christ said, I'll be the covering. Jesus Christ voluntarily left heaven's glory, and he voluntarily walked up Golgotha's hill. And though he could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away from this scene, I'm not going to stay and suffer this humiliation and pain. Yet, he died alone, voluntarily, in a substitutionary death for you and for me on that day. That's what propitiation is all about. He paid for our sin on that day. We used to sing a song when I was a little boy growing up, what can wash away my sin? And the chorus said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here we see that his love is subordinate to his righteousness. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 3 for a moment. Hold your place in 1 John. And let's just see a correlation here in Romans chapter 3 for a moment. And verse number 25. For here we see again God's redemption for sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch this, verse 25. Whom God, remember God is a God of love, but he's also a God of light. So God hath set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God set forth his Son to become the propitiation, to become the payment for our sin, so that God's righteous demand could be met while he simultaneously expressed his love for you and for me. What a tremendous blessing to realize that God would love us that much. And what a blessing to see that God redeems men and women from their sin. My friend, it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. And Jesus died for you. He redeems us from sin. And then we see, secondly, that he redeems us for a new purpose in life. Notice the Bible says in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. He says, I want you to live now and forever through me. I want my life to be the evidence of God in your life. And you and I have the opportunity to have a new purpose through Jesus Christ, living through him. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse number 1 that we are called to be the sons of God. And as the sons of God, once we are saved or born again, we become the sons of God. Now we have the opportunity not to live our life, but to allow his life to be lived through us, Galatians 2:20. And here we know that Jesus Christ is allowing us to live his life through us. And that can happen if you're born again. That can happen if Jesus Christ has redeemed you. And you have the opportunity to allow his life to flow through your life. And so God's love is revealed, and it's revealed in his word, and it's revealed through his Son. And then God's love is redemptive. Jesus Christ pays for our sins, and he gives us a new life that we might live for him. But I want you to see, thirdly this morning, God's love is reassuring. God's love is reassuring. Now, you know, it really doesn't matter how long you've been married. It doesn't matter how long you've known a loved one. Everybody likes to be reassured of love. In fact, every once in a while I'll talk to a man about a marriage situation, and he'll say, good night, Pastor. I mean, I told her I loved her 17 years ago and it hasn't changed since then. What's the problem? The day we got married, I told her I love her. And sometimes we don't realize that our wives would like to hear it more than maybe once a decade. Sometimes a guy might say, well, you know, I bought her a washing machine, I bought her an ironing board and an iron. I mean, what else does this lady want anyways? Well, she'd like you to have brains to begin with. That would be a nice start. But you know, fellas, sometimes we're a little slow learning on that. But everybody likes to know, hey, you're appreciated. Hey, I love you. Thank you for being a blessing. Happy anniversary. Some of you guys are thinking, when is my anniversary? When is it? But aren't you glad that God reassures us of His love? God's love is reassuring. Now, I want you to see three things about the reassuring aspects of His love. First of all, His love is our foundation for life. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The word dwell means to abide in spiritual oneness. And what a blessing it is to build our relationship on this foundation. God is in me. If God is in me as a Christian, and He is by His indwelling Spirit, and if God is in your spouse as a Christian, and He is as she receives Christ, then there's a foundation in that family. There is a foundation of love in that family because God who is in us is love. And through God, we can love. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. There is never a time when a Christian should not be able to love another person so long as they are being controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. You may not agree with that Christian. You may not particularly care for everything that Christian does. But you can love them through the Holy Spirit of God. His love is our foundation. Ephesians 3 and verse 17 says, with Christ in our hearts, we can be rooted and grounded in love. And so His love becomes a reassuring foundation in our lives and in our relationships. And then notice, secondly, His love removes fear. His love removes fear. The Bible says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, in verses 17 and 18, we see that His love removes fear. Why? Because God is on our side.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president of West Coast Baptist College. I do invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. You can hear today's message in its entirety. You can also hear all of the messages from this great, powerful series, Understanding God. You can download them and even subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can find that and many other resources at dailyintheword.org. Now to wrap up today's program, here's Paul Chapel.
Hi, this is Paul Chapel, and I want to thank you for listening to Daily in the Word. You know, it's a great privilege to preach Bible-based messages on over 400 stations across America each and every day. One of my favorite parts of the day is when I receive mail or email from the listeners of Daily in the Word. It's very rewarding to teach and preach the Word of God and to know that someone's life is being blessed or even changed for eternity because of the broadcast. I'd like to ask you to take time today to visit dailyintheword.org. When you get to that website, you're going to see a variety of helps for your Christian life. Also, I'd like to encourage you to drop an email through dailyintheword.org. Let us know how the broadcasts are touching your life. If the Lord lays on your heart, we would greatly appreciate your gift to this ministry in order that we might be able to continue airing the broadcast across this nation. Your gift will go right towards the airtime cost of this ministry, and we'll look forward to continually preaching the Word of God as we journey together on Daily in the Word.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, we would love to hear from you this month, and we do have a gift. If you'll take the time to call or write to us, we'd like to send you a token of our appreciation. It's a booklet written by Pastor Chapel entitled Amaze of Grace. If you're going through a difficult time right now, or if you know of somebody who's bearing up under a trial or a burden, this book will help them find God's amazing grace in the maze of their trial. Sometimes it's in life's most confusing, frustrating moments that we see God's hand of grace in miraculous ways in our lives. This little booklet will remind you of this. Again, it's entitled Amaze of Grace, and it's our gift to you when you call or write to us this month. And just let us know that you're listening. The easiest way to do that is to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the Contact Us tab. I do hope that you'll pray about contributing to our ministry. You can do that on the website as well when you click on Donate. And your investment into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for airtime so that we can continue teaching and preaching the Word of God on stations like this one all across America. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, our mailing address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget, when we hear from you this month, we're going to send you a copy of Pastor Chappell's book, Amaze of Grace, a great gift for someone who's bearing up under a trial. It will encourage their heart and remind them of God's wonderful grace, even in the mazes of life. Amaze of Grace, this month, our gift to you. Thanks so much for being a part of this ministry, Daily in the Word. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. And until next time, have a great day.